News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
Good morning from Dan and Dalton at FM Talk 106.5, 807 on Mobile Mornings on this Monday after a weekend that, in my mind, was dominated by football, but that was not all that was going on this past weekend,
of course, especially not.
In downtown Mobile.
Well, downtown Mobile, but we had Greek Fest going on. Yep. We had Smoke on the Farm, which was a success, and plenty of other things going on. But yes, I think you're referring to the No Kings protest that was set for.
And if they put up that big screen with the Georgia Ole Miss game on, I'm in.
You would have been there. Yeah.
But they didn't. And so I'm like, okay, you're making a statement to me. You don't want me at your protest.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to go. But we did have a cast member that decided to check it out.
We did. So Leanna Miller, our very own, was in attendance. And I wanted her to tell us about this. But, you know, I was on Saturday, of course, interested mostly in how many people would turn out in Mobile. And they had a rally in Fairhope as well. I'm not sure if any other small towns around here had a No Kings protest, but I wasn't so worried about violence breaking out at our protest, more so the bigger cities, you know, New York, Boston, Philly. And it appears that while there was a turnout, now how many people turned out for the nationwide protests, I haven't seen an exact number, sizable in some places, but no arrests that I can tell, and a lot of the big ones nationwide. Mm-hmm. Nothing that got too violent. We did have an arrest in Fairhope, and we'll get to that here in a minute. But I went to AL.com to see, you know, well, what are we looking at for the Alabama protests? And John Sharp writes, Mobile No Kings protest, large crowd rallies in Halloween costumes against Trump. They also put up thousands join No Kings protest in Huntsville against the Trump administration. And also from AL.com, No Kings protest draws large crowd in Birmingham. So I'm thinking, man, maybe more people turned out than I thought. Leanna, you were down there. How many people did you feel were out there, and what was the vibe?
A couple hundred. It wasn't near as large as I expected it to be. I went to the first one and filmed the first one as well, and it was way more packed.
You're going to enough of these, you can get No Kings Protest awards points, right? Like with the app?
No, thank you.
Log in with the app.
By the way, remind us, Leanna, when was that first No Kings? Back in the spring, maybe?
Yes.
Okay.
I think they've had a few over the last few months.
Yeah.
But you thought the first one you attended was a bigger turnout.
Right, because they filled both sides of the street right there in front of Government Boulevard and the Holiday Inn, and almost made it down to Jackson, I think. But this time, it was only on near the Government Plaza and the Holiday Inn. And it was sparse in a couple of areas.
Yeah. Well, what was the kind of the age range, gender? Was there any, were there more older folks there? Good mix of young and old?
There were quite a few older folks, some younger people there, lots of brightly colored hair, lots of Spirit Halloween costumes,
yeah,
I noticed.
Some that you sold. You helped.
Yeah.
You're kind of like Antifa. I mean, you brought these things to the protest.
You should be under arrest. You fortified the protest by selling them your Halloween costumes. Yeah.
And then going down and filming them as they strut down Government Street.
Yeah.
I saw Taco, Cartman, the Cookie Monster,
That's right. They were encouraged to
wear Halloween costumes.
Right. Yeah. That was the theme.
Which makes it difficult to tell their age, right? Yeah. You know, because when you don't go to these things, because you watch college football, like me and Dan, you have to depend on...
Well, for a number of reasons, but watching college football was... If it had been a day where my slate was clean, I'm not sure I'd be there.
Right.
It may be out of curiosity.
Exactly. So... I mean, it's tough to tell the age with the Halloween costumes, but we have to depend on people who go to the parades and depend that they're looking at it with an objective eye and not slanted one way or the other. But that's difficult these days.
Well, so in the media, right.
Most of the conservatives that I see that comment on these that they are in attendance, they'll tell you that it's all old boomers that like that very few young people are showing up. You turn the other way and you hear what liberals have to say about these protests, and they say, oh, massive success. The youth are out and they're angry, and thousands of people were in attendance. So I always assume it's kind of somewhere in the middle, but you weren't overwhelmed by boomers out there. You think there were some youth?
There were some youth out there. It probably was a majority of older folks. They were all angry and yelling at people. Like,
what were they yelling at? I mean, they were only among each other.
What were they angry about?
They were yelling at cars that were passing by. And then when my husband and I went to cross the road, they said, cross the road if you didn't vote for Trump. And so I was like, whatever.
Did they say that while you were crossing the road?
Yes, no. Me and my husband.
Difficult situation there.
Yeah.
When you're hopping and walking.
Kind of, again, the Democrat anger where they're wishing for you to get hit by a semi coming out of the out of the tunnel.
Yeah.
You know, because that's kind of a sudden thing right there. Those vehicles come up out of the tunnel. They
got to watch out.
I mean, you're right there. That is kind of a dangerous spot.
And so, that was where I was crossing, was right there in front of the tunnel.
Yeah.
Any overwhelming, you know, particular causes that the No Kings protesters were upset about? Did it seem that their ire was focused on the Republicans' abortion, their feelings on abortion? Were we talking ICE? Were we talking, you know, international warfare? Did anything in particular seem to be the top cause?
No, they were just insulting Trump.
Okay.
Pretty much. It was just they were angry that Trump was the president. I didn't get any views. I didn't learn anything from that, them.
Did you? I remember last time when you were talking about it, Leanna, you noticed either carloads or a bus load or something of people from out of town.
Right.
And so this was brought to my attention again this weekend. A friend of mine brought to my attention some of the big crowds, maybe by L.A., I don't know where the pictures were from massive turnouts, and said, see here, Dan Brennan, they're not all... they're
paid protesters.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. So did you sense any of that?
I didn't see any bust-in people. It seemed like it was just a bunch of just tiny little groups of people.
Mm-hmm.
So it was very... They were very spread out. It wasn't like packed or anything.
So they did encourage attendees to wear Halloween costumes or black if you didn't have a Halloween costume to wear. And
because the situation is so grave with our democracy, go ahead and wear black.
Were there any top Halloween, was there one Halloween costume that was being worn more than others? Did you notice any trends?
Any duplications?
Were there sexy, did people wear the sexy Halloween costumes like a frat party, or was it mostly the goofy kind of stuff?
The good news is they did not wear the sexy ones.
Okay, so that's good news? No one out there that you wanted to see in a sexy Halloween costume?
Would it be like a woman showing up at a party and someone else has the same outfit on, like a dress, when you're just like flabbergasted. But if you show up at a protest for the No Kings in the same outfit. Mm-hmm. So there were no duplications you saw?
No, I did see a couple of traffic cones, which we sell at Spirit.
Yeah.
There was,
and that could be tricky at a protest.
Right. I was thinking you're really going to confuse traffic if you walk out into the road.
Yeah. So what about the police to protester ratio? Did you see much law enforcement out there?
I did not see law enforcement at all.
At all?
At all. I saw security like over some parking lots, but I didn't see.
Wow. I'm kind of surprised. Little surprised. So you didn't note that there was an overwhelming showing of law enforcement down there at the protest.
Right. I don't think that it was really needed.
That's what I was going to ask. No. Did you feel like there was any need for that? Okay.
No.
Well, there was a need for it in Fairhope, apparently. And I saw some rumblings about this on Facebook and now Lanyap this morning, Scott Johnson writing. So Fairhope had their own No Kings protest, and there was an arrest made. And this arrest was made for a protester wearing a Halloween costume. And you said this costume is at Spirit Halloween?
From the adult section.
So dressed like I was going to say A, dressed like the male appendage, the full package, if, as it were, this protester in a Halloween costume, and using the term dictator to also describe their Halloween costume, at least part of that word. And they were arrested. So video, according to Scott Johnson, video widely shared on social media depicts a Fairhope police officer restraining a protester in a phallic costume on a roadside while other participants recorded the encounter on their phones. Scott writes in Lanyap, it's unclear what led to the altercation. In the video, one man could be heard yelling at an officer attempting to cuff the provocatively costumed protester, quote, leave her alone. She's not doing anything. Which also, it's funny using the pronoun her and she when they're dressed in, well, a phallic costume as described by Lanyap. Others can be heard in the video saying, she was walking away. She was trying to get away from you. She was trying to behave.
Well,
dude, that's hard to walk in, by the way.
Have you walked in one of these costumes?
No, but I've seen people in them. I don't know how they would walk.
Maybe more of a shuffle or a scoot.
Right.
Well,
yes.
You know, again, you always get like a corner of the story from those around there. She was walking away, but she was walking away after what?
After,
for instance, if she was acting like a fool to the law enforcement and then at some point kind of cut her losses and was walking away, maybe she had done enough before she walked away where that happened.
Maybe so.
I don't know.
And that is, you know, that's always lost in translation when you get a clip of a video.
Right.
So two other officers soon join in to assist in the arrest. The arresting officer turns and says at one point, this is a family town, and I'm not going to have someone out here dressed like this. It's abusive. The three officers are then shown detaining the woman, lifting her to her feet.
So she was
her whatever.
She was arrested for the outfit alone. So she,
that's
she,
what my guess was going to be, that it was just vulgar and provocative enough that they hauled her off. The woman has identified herself online, and she is a Fairhope resident. Renee Gamble Fletcher, a retired American Sign Language interpreter, wife, mother, and grandmother. I saw some hand signs being thrown out at these protests, and I'm not an interpreter, but I knew what they were saying in most of them. She had posted the image of her costume previously, where she was wearing the inflatable costume and carrying a sign that read, no dictator, with a dash somewhere in that. And she did not immediately respond to a request for an interview. So there was one arrest made. Fairhope PD, as of publishing this story this morning, has not released a public statement. Did you see any of those? Now, that was in Fairhope, the phallic inflatable costume. Did you see any of those?
Any dictators in Mobile?
No, I didn't see that, although it makes sense, yeah.
Did anyone coal roll the protesters? You know, when they drive by in the diesel, shoot the black smoke? There were a lot of videos of that out there.
There was a lot of, like, screeching tires, horns. There was an air horn.
MAGA flags?
No. American flags, Alabama flags, and I think I saw a rebel flag
through.
Dalton, so what was the across the nation yesterday, as I was alerted on my Facebook page that the protests were quite successful. What do the numbers say?
I'm not seeing any hard numbers on them. I know that Elizabeth Warren was tweeting hard, X-ing hard on Saturday during these protests, and shared an image that was actually widely shared on social media where they said it was the Chicago protest, and it was kind of one of those shots that's like a town's championship parade, you know, where it's just completely covered in people.
Yeah, that's the one I think I saw.
But it was pointed out, and I need to, you know, verify the accuracy of the claim that it was not a photo from this weekend, but that was actually a photo from the 2019 Women's March in that same city. So, and that's one that Elizabeth Warren and many others shared, and they were saying, hey, this is actually from a protest 6 years ago, not from this year.
Okay, that's what was shared to me.
But obviously my worry going into Saturday was that Antifa or some maybe even foreign actors would use these protests as cover to create a little bit more chaos, maybe some riots in some of these areas. From what I've seen, it doesn't appear that happened on Saturday, and didn't expect it to happen here in Mobile, but Lana, I'm glad you were down there for an on-the-scene reporter for FM Talk 106.5.
I went, so everybody didn't have to.
So there was no, you didn't break out the agitation meter a little bit. I mean, you didn't mess with them at all.
Were you trolling at all?
Yeah.
I trolled a little bit, but, you know.
I mean, it'd be 200 on one or 200 on two. The odds would be against you.
Meh.
So
I still wasn't worried.
And you did get some video, which you're great at. Yep. You and Trace both. You posted it on our Facebook page, and I imagine the comment section on those videos is just as entertaining as having maybe been at the protest itself.
Yes, of course.
So folks can check the video out there.
Yes, it's on our Facebook page.
Thank you for your work over the weekend.
You're welcome.
Again, the lack of the big screen with the Georgia Ole Miss game, or maybe I'd have been there. But look, if they don't, they don't have enough foresight to bring out the football fans, the hell with them.
And, you know, Leanna, we also will need to talk with you. We don't have enough time right now, but about Spirit Halloween. And mentioned how you probably sold some of these costumes to some of these protesters. But stealing a big problem at Spirit. And
huge.
You've got some stories. We'll have to bring you back in maybe tomorrow morning to talk about some of those.
Yeah,
I'll do that.
Theft at a Halloween store seems to be at a much higher rate at Leanna Talks than any kind of retail store.
Well, otherwise,
it is crazy.
They have protests to dress up for.
They're in a hurry. It is 8:23, Dan and Dalton on FM Talk 106.5. Morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5. A few texts this morning about our game on Friday night between Williamson and Vigor, which was well attended. I would say 10,000 maybe at Lab People Stadium. Some are saying less than that. That's fine. Whatever. I don't know. But it was amazing. And we at one point, we had 25,000 people watching that game on Facebook.
On
live.
Facebook.
So no telling what the numbers were on UTV 44. But anyway, it's an honor to be a part of something that is that massive and meant so much to so many people.
Yeah, I was watching live on YouTube on the NBC 15 page. I know Michael and several others asking, is that going to be up? And yeah, I think that it should be up on the NBC 15 or UTV page now if you wanted to watch some of that game. That was really good going into overtime from Friday night.
I went to YouTube and just searched
Williamson-Vigor,
and it came up, yeah.
Chris and Daphne says, no Kings protest Friday night in Robertsdale. Oops, wrong photo. That's the elementary school fall festival. Lots of laughs. Yeah, it looks like pretty good turnout.
I would say most towns had fall festivals as opposed to no Kings.
I you're probably right. Texture here. I got in a few arguments with some of the liberals online with the no Kings protests. The hilarious thing is that the left-wing media used photos from Trump marches, and supposedly George Soros was paying for the organization of the protests. Listen up, Democrats. You're being led like a horse and carrot by the media. That's from Angry Patriot. Yeah, that indivisible Mobile, and I think they have a lot of other indivisible chapters, and those are Soros related. I'm not sure what the money's looking like, though, in that situation. Cheesewagon say police were there at the protest in Mobile. They were given instructions to stand by a few blocks from the protest. That's probably a good move, you know. No need to raise tensions if tensions don't need to be raised. Jason says, my 82-year-old aunt was yelled at by these loons Saturday in Fairhope, saying, I love your middle finger Trumper, and she was just meeting friends from church for coffee. They coordinate these things so the Fairhope crowd could come to Mobile later in the day. Jason says, these people are losers and the worst of our society. Let's see. That's Chris says, FPD, like Fairhope PD, doesn't like male anatomy being displayed. Some kids built one about 6 feet tall in our roundabout during the big snow, and FPD tore it down that night. Quite amusing to watch. You're never in a great situation when you're the one being asked to either arrest the large costumed male appendage or knock down a snow
a snow penis.
Snow penis. Because, I mean, you just, there's no graceful way to get rid of those things.
Well,
right?
You know, there's nothing that says the holidays like a snow penis in the roundabout.
But hats off to those kids for building that during the snowstorm.
Yeah.
Pete says anyone that schedules any event during college football does not have their life priorities in order.
Exactly.
So they can't be taken seriously.
Well, there's something to that. And there are weddings. You don't want to go to a wedding on a Saturday where there's a big game, right?
No, of course not. So why would you want to go to a protest? Jim Bob from Jackson, I walked by the protest coming out of the Explorium with the family. My wife made me keep my mouth shut.
Hmm. Sounds like that was a job to do. 8:30 FM Talk 106.5, talking Senior Bowl and college football on the way. Good morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5, Mobile Mornings at 8:34. A weekend that was not just the No Kings protest in downtown Mobile and nationwide.
And Greek Fest.
And Greek Fest. And Little Sisters of the Poor. And
Smoke on the Farm.
Smoke on the Farm.
It was a busy weekend.
Yeah, it was. The weather cooperated very nicely. The rain we got was overnight on Saturday night into Sunday morning. So the weather was great. And a lot of you also attended some college football games. Maybe you made it up to Tuscaloosa. Maybe you're an Auburn fan and made it over there. And Drew Fabianich with the Panini Senior Bowl is our guest this morning to talk a little college football.
Hey, Drew, good morning.
Hey, Dan. Hey, Don. How you doing?
Hey, we're great. And I know you guys are working your tails off. I don't know how you're going to do it. I mean, Senior Bowl, we'll be here before we know it, January 31st. And you have your work cut out for you because there are some really great players around this country, and you've got to really narrow it down for the Senior Bowl. You have your work, your team does, cut out for you week in and week out.
Yeah, I was going to say, the key word you said is we do have a team that's working on this. I'm doing as many as I possibly can in between, you know, a lot of different things that I have to handle. But we've got, you know, 10 scouts that do it, you know, great on the road, go to games. We've got two scouting assistants in-house with Jackson Roby and Michael Newsom. And, you know, and Jack Gilmore handles a lot, too. Mm-hmm. So we, you know, we do watch a lot of players, and we are narrowing it down. We're going to have our meetings with our scouts at the end of October. We're going to start getting ready for the invites. The invites are going to go out middle November. That's just the first round of invites, though.
Okay. And I don't know if you had to draw straws or what. Who gets to decide who goes to see the third Saturday in October? But, I mean, we had SEC game after SEC game, ranked after ranked, and you could really just keep it on ABC and see some of the best games
yes.
of the year,
yeah.
week in and week out. But that tied win over the Vols, and surprisingly the stats, Tennessee won in a lot of the statistical categories, but the only one that matters, Bama, won by 17 points. And Drew, you know, of course, a lot of love for Ty Simpson, and Ryan Williams went off. He had a great night, but the player I couldn't quit looking at and raving over was Jeremy Bernard. And I know he's a senior receiver. He didn't have the most eye-popping statistical game, but he seemed to get Bama out of trouble, or when the offense would kind of stall, he just kept them moving and actually led the team in rushing with 49 yards and second in receiving with 60 yards. I really like Jeremy Bernard. I bet some NFL teams do too.
Yeah, they do. And you know, about the one thing about him is he's big and he's quarterback friendly. And what I mean by that is that whether he's covered or not, you know, he's probably coming down with a contested ball. Like physical guys that use their body like he does, you know, I'm not comparing him to, but I'm saying he kind of reminds me a little bit of Anquan Boldin.
Hmm.
You know, especially with the ball in his hand, he's probably a little bit faster than Anquan was. And for those of you that don't know who Anquan Boldin is, you might want to look him up.
Yeah, I remember him back in the day. I thought he was a high school quarterback. Maybe he was committed to Alabama at a time. But maybe he's from Alabama. I don't know.
I can't remember that.
I know he went to Florida State, but he may be a Birmingham kid, but a really good player 25 years ago or so.
And of course, an incredible NFL career.
Yes, with the Cardinals, mm-hmm. right? So yeah, when you project someone being an Anquan Boldin, that's a very good thing.
Yeah, it is.
And, of course, you know, he had someone throwing him the ball, too. And Ty Simpson, week in and week out, just gets it done and keeps him out of dangerous situations for the most part, while also delivering some NFL-level throws. But when you look at kind of the leaders in the clubhouse as far as quarterbacks, and I know we have a lot of good juniors. Diego Pavia is somebody who's going to have to find an NFL team that fits his mold, you know, but you've got Simpson. Gunnar Stockton is looking incredible. Fernando Mendoza out there with Indiana, who's now second in the nation.
Yeah, he was a transfer from Cal.
Pavia, Marcel Reed, a lot of really good quarterbacks to keep an eye on.
Yeah, and I actually mentioned on my first media appearance on NFL Network, I mentioned Fernando Mendoza because the week before I'd actually watched him against Auburn when he played at Cal. And
yep.
I said, you know, he carved Auburn up, and Auburn was pretty darn good on defense, you know, and Fernando didn't have a lot of talent surrounding him at Cal. I was really interested to see how he'd do at Indiana, and Sig's done a great job surrounding him with, you know, some really good skill players, and they're playing really, really well. There's a lot of them. You're correct. There's some that have been positives and done some real positive things, but there's some that have, you know, kind of, you know, shown some, you know, negative, you know, kind of performance that could actually hurt their draft status. But again, I'm going to give them the year to let them play through it and find out exactly who they are, because, you know, fighting through adversity is one thing about, you know, playing quarterback you've got to be able to do, especially in the NFL.
Yeah, you know, that's a good point, is that we're not – we're now just past the halfway part of the year. So, you know, we make these – I don't know.
Conclusions?
Conclusions too early sometimes on players and on teams as well, Drew. You know,
you mean like Arch Manning?
Well, yeah, that would be one of them, but one of many, right? We say we know in October this is what this team is, and in the end we find out, man, they got better or they got worse or something went on, and we were incorrect.
Yeah. I mean, go back just last year when Michigan beat Ohio State. I mean, everybody's saying, well, you know, they're not going to win the national championship. Well, sure enough, they did.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, you got to let these guys kind of filter through it. I mean, look at UCLA. Look what they're doing right now. I mean, again, they fired the head coach, and they haven't lost a game since. So,
well, they're probably about to.
Well, I mean, you never know.
Yeah.
I mean, would you have thought SMU would have walked into Clemson to beat them?
No. No, and you know, you mentioned Clemson. I include Klubnik. You look at Nussmeier. You look at Carson Beck after Friday night, and those three guys were in the lead for first overall pick and Heisman status. And now, because the teams around them are having some issues, they are as well. How much does that matter to NFL coaches? Maybe they want to see a top tier quarterback lose a couple games and see how they respond to that adversity.
Yeah, absolutely. That's kind of what I was talking about. I mean, because. Again, when you go to the NFL, I mean, everybody gets paid to coach. I mean, and you're gonna face some really good coaching, and you're gonna face some really good players, and you're not gonna win every game. So, you have to find out how these guys are gonna actually adapt to it, and how they're gonna answer the bell or not. And you know, some have, some haven't. And I'm still gonna give them some room to improve.
When you look,
there's still a lot of football left.
Yes.
It really is.
Drew, when you look at the NFL rookie class this year, are there any players that that were at the Senior Bowl last year that are catching your attention at all?
You know, I'll be honest with you. I spend most of my time watching college ball. I only do a little bit of, you know, Pro Bowl on Sundays just when I get a chance, mm-hmm. because I really just don't have time.
Understood, yeah.
I'm catching up from Saturday, but... I mean, Jackson Dart's done a really good job. You know, you'd have to ask a lot of the people that were here before, because, you know, I was at West Virginia last year. I don't remember who exactly were on the roster
sure.
last year. So I'd be remiss in saying that I knew, other than I can tell you one alumni that blew it away yesterday was Bo Nix.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What an incredible finish there in that game, too, Denver and New York. Yeah. He is something else to watch. You know, also, as far as running backs, we haven't said his name a whole lot this year, but Jeremiah Love up there at Notre Dame, and he had a big game in that win over USC, 228 yards rushing and a touchdown. He was somebody I was actually thinking about this weekend for my Tennessee Titans, who are having a rough year, and how much a running back like that can change not only, obviously, a college team, but we see they make quite the mark in their first few seasons in the NFL when they're that good.
Yeah, they do. And, you know, and it goes back to, like, Ezekiel Elliott when we added him with the Cowboys. I mean, he brought a different dimension that we hadn't had for years. And that goes all the way back to what, you know, Bill Polian, you know, said to Jerry Jones, like, a week before that Edgerrin James made the difference for Peyton Manning to go to the Super Bowl, because they didn't have a running game. And they needed a running game to control the clock and actually play complementary football, because they're giving the ball back too quickly because of, you know, throwing the ball so much.
Mm-hmm.
So they're giving teams too many possessions. So yeah, they can make a difference, but now and again, but their shelf life is very limited.
Yeah.
It is, because, you know, after a while the tread gets real thin and they slow down. And once they slow down, you know, the game eats them alive.
Mm. So a couple of quarterbacks that are intriguing to me, and this is Dalton just said this off air, I've got to repeat it because it's so funny, but Gunnar Stockton, if you see him in interviews, he's got this Opie from Mayberry kind of thing going on, where he's this innocent and a nice guy.
Happy.
The happy, doesn't have a bad word for anybody on his team. The team seems to love him. And he has really been producing during the games. And then you have Diego Pavia, Dalton said was his evil twin. So you've got these two guys who are gritty. But is there a place in pro football for people of that size and that skill set?
Well, I mean, smaller guys have gotten their opportunities lately. I mean, starting with Russell Wilson, Baker Mayfield, I mean, Kyler Murray. I mean, you just have to have a philosophy from the top down, you know, from the owner to the head coach, the offense coordinator, that you're willing to change an offense to suit the player. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, Lamar Jackson does things, you know, a heck of a lot differently than a lot of them do. Now, he's not short in stature, but they change the offense to suit what he does best. And, again, you have to be able to sell the entire organization that you're willing to do that. And if you're willing to do that, some people have been successful with it, and some people haven't. So, you know, everybody can't be prototype. Everybody can't be, you know, 6'3" and a half and 220 pounds and, you know, have a rifle arm and, you know, be just enough an athlete to escape.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's not enough of those around. And there's more guys that are more of the dual threats now that maybe not as great a passer that may have a place in the NFL.
Yeah, and, you know, we're talking with Executive Director Drew Fabianich with the Panini Senior Bowl. There's guys everywhere, and I know the Senior Bowl, you guys have eyes pretty much all around the nation, but when you see a stat line, and I wasn't watching the game, so I didn't see every single carry, but a D3 running back this weekend out of Curry College, Monty Quinn, I don't know if you saw this, 522 yards rushing and 7 touchdowns. Huh. An NCAA record. When you see a stat line like that, and, you know, they could be playing, I think in this case, that win came over Nichols. So 71-27 over Nichols. The competition isn't that stiff, but when you see a guy put up a stat line like that, do you at least watch the game tape? Or what do you do when you're trying to get guys in the Senior Bowl and you say, oh, this guy just ran for 522 in one game?
I think you have to. I mean, why wouldn't you? I mean, if it's available, I mean, take a peek at it. You know, there's not a lot of history of a lot of Division III players actually making it the NFL.
Yeah.
You know, there's very few. I mean, put it this way, in 18 years, I think I went to one Division III school, and it was Mount Union.
They went all the time. Yeah.
Yeah, and the one player actually did play for Jacksonville for probably about 6 or 7 years.
Hmm.
Which I don't remember the kid's name, but yeah, he was a receiver at Mount Union. So, I mean, think about that. I was there 18 years, and one time I went to a Division III school.
Hmm. Yeah, I'm familiar with Division III, and it is definitely a very low-level college football. I mean, it's organized, coaching's pretty good and all that, but for the most part, the talent would be somewhere else if they could be.
That's what I was going to tell you. The thing is now that there are no secrets in the small colleges anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you're good enough, a P4 or G5 school is going to pluck you out of there and pay you to play.
By the way, and we saw it happen here at South Alabama, not on D3 level, but they're getting plucked to death by the bigger schools. I did do a high school game on Friday night between Williamson and Vigor that was very compelling. And I know that, you know, you don't have time to pour over high school football for sure, but Drew, I think all 11 of Williamson's players on defense have been offered scholarships.
Mm-hmm.
Many of them to the higher level. It was, and the grit and the want to on the field
and the execution
was astounding.
Well, that's impressive because there aren't many teams around that can say they got offers to every single player on the defensive side. There's no way.
Yeah, and then many of the players are younger, like sophomores and even freshmen, but they've been offered already. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Well, Matt, Bill, think about that. I mean, I think we had like 6 when I was, you know, in high school, you know, and that was the whole team. So, I mean, you know, that's pretty impressive.
It really is. And you'll be watching them. We'll all be watching them in the next level for the next few years. Drew, as always, really appreciate our conversation we have with you on Monday mornings in the Panini Senior Bowl. Like I've said, it'll be here before we know it, January 31st. And at seniorbowl.com, you have all the great information up there. And is that also where folks can go ahead and purchase tickets?
Absolutely. Yes. Get to it now because those chairbacks are going fast.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and again, that stadium is I don't think there's a bad seat in that entire stadium in Hancock-Whitney.
Agree with that. Drew, thanks again for your time this morning.
Thank you.
All right, Panini Senior Bowl, Executive Director Drew Fabianich, good breakdown of some of the players from this weekend. And coming back, we'll break down the text line, 251-343-0106. More texts to get to, plus who's coming up on the Jeff Poor Show and more with Mobile Mornings on the way.
Morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5, Mobile Mornings. It is 8:54. So it's at ChasinHomes.com, and of course, Chasin Homes with Jason Wachter. That's the group that I've learned so much about over in Daphne that I think are just really, really good at their job. And I was looking at some of the testimonials, and this was interesting. Marie, in her early 80s, and she was widowed, and she needed less square footage. And she said, Chasin, this is a quote from her testimonial. Chasin suggested a house he'd recently built. I knew immediately I'd found the ideal home for me. One level, 1,200 square feet, with a small yard, low maintenance, gold certified, and a most convenient location. I think Chasin showed me that home. It's right off of Old Town Daphne, about a block from downtown. Marie goes on to say, it seemed like a mission impossible with Chasin. It was mission accomplished. And she said the building inspector, this is not his job, but he told her that, quote, you will never find a better built house than this one. So that's what they're all about at Chasin Homes, building great homes, selling great homes, taking the time to know what your needs are. And Chasin Wachter's in the middle of it. Call Chasin Homes at 251-379-4444. And you could read more testimonials just like that at ChasinHomes.com.
Coming up, we have the Jeff Poor Show on the way, and then April Marie Fogle will be in for Sean Sullivan on Midday Mobile today. But coming up with Jeff, he'll have State Representative Shane Stringer on in hour number one, Dale Jackson from WVNN on in hour number two. And by the way, that'll be a conversation between an Auburn fan and a Florida fan, one whose team has just let go of their head coach, Billy Napier at Florida. And I'm sure Jeff will speak on whether he wants Hugh Freeze to remain the head coach at Auburn during his program today.
Mm-hmm. You want to guess which way he's going to lean on that one?
I'm thinking he wants Freeze gone. And then in hour number three, Jeff will wrap the show up speaking with former state senator Dick Brubaker. On to the text line, and let's see. We'll start with Butterknife. I would like to say I don't agree with the No Kings protest, but it was a peaceful demonstration. No violence, good job. And Butterknife also says the last protest Republicans got behind was January 6th, and that was a good protest until it wasn't, like the BLM protest. They were okay protests until they were not. No Kings protest usually stays peaceful, is what Butterknife had to say. Sheila said, good morning, Dan and Dalton. Dan, my dad and I watched the Williamson and Viger game, and y'all did a great job calling it. It was a great game. Have a blessed day.
You know, I was thinking about this weekend, Dalton, how grateful I am for an audience like we had on Friday night, but how grateful I am for our audience. Mm-hmm. Every day we come in here and we go to the text line, we check out what folks are saying. They're engaged. They're listening. The numbers are very big. It's just without you all, what's our job? So thank you guys for listening and encouraging us to try and do the best job we can do.
Yeah, really appreciate it. And wrap it up with this, because I didn't get to this headline earlier, but I wanted to, because I've been on the record. I think space debris, and it's not exactly a crazy opinion. I mean, it seems obvious if you think about it long enough. I think space debris is going to become a real, real problem going forward, where maybe in our forecast, Dr. Bill doesn't just give us the weather, but also the space debris weather and what's expected to rain down.
So
there was a crazy situation that happened on this domestic flight, and they're thinking it could have been space debris. A United Airlines 737 MAX 8 made an emergency landing in Salt Lake City after an apparent mid-air strike shattered its multi-layered cockpit windshield at cruising altitude, injuring a pilot with glass cuts and bruises. And there's photos of this online. United Flight 1093 from Denver to L.A. diverted safely. Passengers continued on another aircraft. While online speculation ranges from space debris to a meteor, experts note an electrical malfunction could also crack a windshield, though reported scorch marks and shattered glass suggest an external impact. But the FAA has estimated the odds of space debris seriously injuring an airline passenger at 1 trillion to 1. I'll just say those odds are growing.
Oh, well, they grew with that because you had the pilot it might as well be a passenger. He's on the plane, and he was injured.
Yeah,
and you feel like it was space debris.
I'm thinking there's a chance. Now, also, it could be a meteor or I guess a bird, but they're not thinking that it was
that high up.
I don't know. The FAA typical bird or hail strikes occur at much lower altitudes, so we'll see. But I just want to continue to be on the record. Space debris, going to be more of a story as we move forward.
Dalton making a big-time statement right there. Jeff Poor on the way.